People don't really think about webinars or virtual events as video, but there's so much you can do with that content. With the market shifts we've seen, we know that video is where it's at right now. That's the most engaging format.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. I'm thrilled to be joined by Lindsay McGuire today, Associate Director of Content and Campaigns at Goldcast. We're a big fan of Lindsay's, not just because she's local here in Indy, but also because of what her and the team are building at Goldcast. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining the Content Cocktail Hour. I'm excited to talk to another marketer today who markets to marketers. But before we dive into all of that, why don't, in your own words, introduce yourself and share a little bit about your background and your journey to Goldcast.
Yeah, so I am Lindsay McGuire, Associate Director of Content and Campaigns at Goldcast. We are a video platform that allows you to use video throughout the entirety of the customer journey, using virtual events, webinars, and video repurposing, and a whole kit and caboodle around that. It's been a lot of fun. Like you said, I get to market to marketers, which is kind of like the golden promised land of marketers. But I think we'll talk about that in a little bit. Kind of an interesting journey as far as my career. I've always been a marketer, always been a content marketer. My background is in journalism. I was actually a magazine journalist for about 5 or 6 years before going in-house. And then my first in-house role was with the largest credit union in Alabama, spent a few years there, moved up to the Indianapolis area, which I'll say like Indy is probably home now, like you said. And I joined United Way, one of the largest nonprofits in the world, was there for a few years, realized the tech scene in Indy was really hot. I wanted to be part of that. Joined the team at Formstack for about 5 years. Unfortunately, got laid off, you know, the story in tech of that time period. And that's actually what got me over to Goldcast. And so now I've been at Goldcast for a little over a year.
That's awesome. It is fascinating the correlation we see between the best content marketers we work with and their background in journalism. We just see that over and over and over again. And I think it's, I think it's obviously the writing skill set, but I always think what I've tried to kind of draw from that insight is that I think journalists are really good at asking questions. And I think sometimes marketers, we're so focused on what we're marketing and getting that message out into market that we don't do as good a job like stopping and asking questions and listening and asking a follow-up question. So that's really cool. That's fascinating that you also have a journalism background. I'm not surprised. Well, this is the Content Cocktail Hour, Lindsay, so we always like asking our guests, what are they enjoying drinking nowadays?
Yeah, I'll do a non-alcoholic and an alcoholic one because I like to have the full gamut represented. So non-alcoholic wise, what I've been into recently is there's a coffee shop that is local to Indianapolis, but actually branching out into other states. So maybe your state has one, wherever you're listening from. Muslim of the World Coffee has the best chai. It's so good. I like it iced, but they have it hot too, I think. So that's been my non-alcoholic choice recently. And then I have married into a very strong bourbon family. So bourbon is where it's at in my household. I had never drank bourbon before meeting my husband. And now, you know, we have probably 5 or 6 different types in our house because my husband, his dad, all bourbon heads. So that's what I usually drink alcohol-wise.
I love it. I'm a big fan of both of those. I think you actually introduced me to this coffee shop here in Indy, and it's one I've been back to now several times. So very cool, and would recommend that, as well as bourbon. I'm also a big bourbon drinker, so love those recommendations. All right, Lindsay, let's jump into a little bit of what you introduced at the top in the introduction. I thought even the words you chose were pretty interesting, as Goldcast is a video platform. So maybe just a little bit of history, and I might butcher this, so feel free to correct me, but you know, Goldcast hasn't always been a video platform. I think when we were introduced to Goldcast and when we started using Goldcast, known more for being an events platform. And I think specifically throughout COVID, when a lot of growth happened for events platforms, Goldcast was a leader in that space. But more recently, you all have shifted into this video space. So maybe before we dive into video and events, do you mind just sharing a little bit about that kind of journey of evolving from an events platform to a video platform?
Yeah, of course. And it's been really cool to watch it unfold in the past year that I've been part of the team, because that's where you want to go when you work in tech, is you want to find a product that is evolving and innovating in smart, strategic ways where you can grow in a way that makes sense, I think. Because sometimes the way we grow in tech doesn't really make sense. And it makes your job a lot harder sometimes. But that's probably a whole nother conversation. But yes, you are right. So we started in 2020. And, you know, obviously with the height of COVID and things like that, everyone was seeking virtual engagement opportunities. So that's actually where our platform began, was as a virtual event platform. So for the OGers who know Goldcast from 4 years ago, that is kind of what our roots are built in, is being a virtual event platform. And so that includes webinars, small virtual events, larger summits, conferences, multi-day virtual events, kind of the whole gamut of those virtual experiences you would be hungry for when you go back to 2020, 2021. And people are still hungry for those experiences now. But with the market shifts we've seen, we know that video is where it's at right now. That's the most engaging format. It is the less used format at this current time point. And the people who are thinking, the next 2-5 years are investing in video now. And we just kind of had that light bulb go off of like, yeah, we are an events platform. You know, if we go back a few years, we are an events platform. But events are like, if you're running in a virtual event, it's a video. Like, there's so much more that we can do with our platform and our technology that goes well beyond just that one moment in time for that virtual event. So over the past probably 2 years, I guess, if you're thinking big scope, our product team has been making very strategic investments, very strategic releases to ensure that our customers and anyone else who joins the Goldcast bandwagon can get the most out of these virtual experiences and these video moments. Because I think one disconnect is like, people don't really think about webinars or virtual events as video, but there's so much you can do with that content. And think about it, you know, we all know the stats of like, oh, it's so much harder to get a net new customer versus retain a current customer, right? Well, the same kind of thinking goes into your content. It's so much harder to create net new content versus repurposing some of the content you've already invested time and effort in. So it just kind of made sense for us as a company, as a technology, as a platform, to broaden our scope from just being known as like a virtual events platform to being known as a video platform.
I'll give you credit, I promise, but I'm going to steal that analogy around creating new content versus repurposing and the similarity with customers, because you're exactly right, but I've never heard it framed that way. I love that perspective. That's really strong. So you mentioned like webinars, and I think it is likely that more marketers probably listening to this, and just broadly not listening to this even, probably they probably have webinars or virtual events as part of their marketing strategy. Less likely that they have video as part of their current strategy, but I think you're exactly right. Like, that's where the market is going. So how would you encourage marketers to go with a market in that direction, given kind of this current state of maybe they've got a webinar program, maybe they have a virtual event program, but they're not really thinking yet about how that becomes video? Like, where does the event end and where does the video start, and how do marketers get started on that path?
Yeah, I think the light bulb needs to go off first and foremost, and probably not just at the event marketer, the demand gen marketer, the content marketer. It needs to go off also at the leadership level and the exec level, that your webinar strategy, your virtual event strategy, whatever you want to call it, it's not just a lead gen strategy. It is a content strategy. And the things that you are doing in that programming should feed into your circles of your campaigns and your content and your demand gen plan and all those things, because you should be creating content within your events, within your webinars, that's super engaging, super relevant, very interactive, things that your audience is craving. Well, those things like directly translate into what works for video. So I think first and foremost, the light bulb has to go off between leadership and then the people actually boots on the ground doing the programs, doing the work of like, oh, this isn't just like a lead gen playbook. This is also a content playbook, a campaign playbook. You can even say a full marketing strategy playbook. I mean, of course, like not the entirety of it, but it's just such a bigger scope, I think, than sometimes people give it credence for. So I think that light bulb has to go off first and foremost. And if some of the light bulbs don't go off, you have to figure out a way to convince the maybe the blockers who are preventing you from investing in making this a bigger strategy. And then the second part of it is, especially if you're a smaller team, you have to figure out what tools can enable you to use your webinars, your virtual events as a video strategy. because I think a lot of people are scared of video, and for good reasons, right? When you think of video in a very just historical sense, you think expensive, time-consuming, specialized skills.
Yep.
I don't know how the F to do that. Yep. I'm not a video editor. Like, those are all the things I think myself as a content marketer, because I have very little experience in video from either taping things, oh my God, I'm showing my face. from filming things.
We're TiVoing this podcast as we speak.
Oh my God. I just don't have the experience and the skill set when it comes to like, then even someone on a recent video I shared was like, oh, are you a video editor? And I was like, I know how to edit a video, but I would never consider myself a video editor. But I think part of it is finding the tools that can empower you to be self-service in the video stage. Because if you have the right tools in your tool belt for those virtual events, those webinars, then you should be able to already get the actual recordings in a place where they are usable. It's feasible to slice and dice. The quality is where it needs to be. The recordings are strong. So if you have that already built in, then it's just figuring out, okay, what tools can I add in to my processes, my workflows, to make it easier to then repurpose this stuff. And so, of course, I'm going to bring my own product in because that's what I use every day. But in instance of Goldcast, we have a product called Content Lab, which automatically brings in any of your webinars, virtual events, recordings you do in Goldcast. But you can also upload content there. So you can add in a YouTube link of a video, a Wistia link, upload a file, whatever you have. And then it uses AI to not only allow you to easily snip that video, clip it out, make social snippets, make videos for YouTube and shorts and reels and yada, yada, yada. But then it also uses that source content to fuel emails, ebooks, takeaways, the transcript, all sorts of other copy assets. So then, again, there's that light bulb. OMG, I have this 1 hour webinar recording that used to just go off into the doldrums of on demand, and it might get an average of like 34 views in its lifetime, which is wild. Data from our benchmark report that's coming up. But now, once that light bulb goes off, you can think about, oh, I could like use the source content to make an email nurture to then push people to this content when it's relevant. Oh, I can make sales enablement pieces where my sales team feels empowered to share this content without sitting on a webinar for an hour. Like, the possibilities are endless. And then bringing it back to the video piece, those video clips, those short pieces, that is what's going to be like the hook for this, right? And then you can pull in everything else to make it kind of a full scope campaign.
Let me be the poster child for this, because I, similar to you, have a marketing background, but I actually got into marketing from the data side. So I've never like considered myself a creative, you know, when video, I was like, I'm not recording video for LinkedIn. Like, I'm just not going to do it. But using tools that we have, you know, this podcast episode, we're going to get 4 videos from. Every event that we host, and we do use Goldcast, we get probably 10 videos from the full length video and all the snippets, and we share those with the speakers. And like, we're a team of 4, like, and video is core in our marketing strategy now. And like, I'm not spending any time video editing. We're using the tools that are out there now. So I would just encourage anybody that is unsure of, or maybe a little nervous around video, like exactly like you're saying, Lindsay, like use the tools that are out there in place. And I can't help but think like that example of using the atomized pieces of content for email, for nurture campaigns. Like, now all of a sudden, like, you're getting to spend time doing marketing as opposed to just creating content. And I think that is so, the rise of inbound marketing, the rise of like content marketing and gated assets, like, we just all got stuck on this treadmill of creating content. And it feels like we're undoing some of that now in a way that can be really healthy to use the tools that are in place to help us create the content. And then we as marketers get to figure out how we want to actually use the content instead of just always being on this creation journey. So I think everything you just mentioned is so powerful, and would really encourage people to go explore moving in that direction for sure.
And it's scary to start if you haven't started. So don't feel like you're alone, listener.
Yeah,
if you feel
totally.
That this is a scary thing to do, because it's natural to feel that way. And I'll also add on to kind of like, I think where you're going to is like, brings up the conversation of distribution, right? And like, putting more effort into distribution, which I think has been a conversation the last 5 years. But again, it's like a hard thing to do when you have these constant goals, these constant KPIs, these constant things you need to do and run and launch and all that part. And so one thing that's been really interesting, like a conversation that's been coming up with my own customers, I'm talking to people out in marketing, just in the field in general, is this idea of, I just wish I had someone who could focus on the on-demand and the distribution and like the post-event, post-video creation side of the house. I think that's really fascinating because we are so focused on net new and go, 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 and onto the next and onto the next. But we have so much of a backlog that could be so powerful, yeah. But like, who's going to do it, you know?
Well, okay, so that's a great segue. We didn't even plan this, but you mentioned in the last question a little bit there, like KPIs. And I think webinars traditionally have been lead gen, and it's how many registrants can you get, how many attend, that sort of thing. But as people are maybe evolving from events into video or growing into video and starting video, or maybe both, how do you all think about it at Goldcast? Because as you mentioned, there's multiple stakeholders. There's events team, a demand generation team, content team. How do you measure the success of video? And either, again, at Goldcast or as your customers are making that journey from events to video, how does how they measure success change?
Yeah, I mean, that can go in a bajillion ways. So
that's why I asked the question, let you answer it.
I think it really depends on which channels you're using your video across, right? So if you're sharing your video on social media, it's likely that, again, roll your eyes, like, oh, it's going to be vanity metrics you're measuring. But it's going to be the engagement that you're getting from those mm-hmm. videos. And in this moment, a lot of the market is reporting that when they share a video, those engagement metrics skyrocket. You know, your impressions are massive compared to like just a text post at this point in time when using LinkedIn. Yeah. And granted, LinkedIn is wackadoo. Tomorrow we could log on and it's all different. It's a hellscape. So who knows? But right now, in this current moment, video is getting much higher impressions, usually much higher engagement as far as reactions and comments. And I think it also has the added play of bringing, okay, I'm going to say this. I work for an AI-empowered platform, so AI is an interesting place for me. I will say in the era of AI, video is where you can be more human because we as a brand in Goldcast, as much as we love AI and AI is a huge part of our story and our technology and our platform, we advocate that AI always needs a human handler. And the place that video plays where we are right now in modern marketing is video is the way that you can human to human connect very naturally in a very engaging way. I'm a thoroughbred content marketer, but we all know the garbage that is being created thanks to AI right now in the copy space, right? The content copy writing space. And I think video is a great way to combat some of the like black, you know, I'm gonna use SEO terms, but I started in SEO, that black hat, you know, AI marketing that's happening right now that just destroys everything else. Yeah. But anyways, I think at the end of the day, when it comes to like the data you're looking for, because I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent there, sorry. But the data depends on how you're using that video, where you're using it. I think one area where there's a huge amount of potential, especially with some of the technology improvements we as a brand are making and likely other platforms that are streaming videos is, you know, we've released a product called Smart Events, which now is going to enable you to directly embed your on-demand video from your event or webinar or series or even your podcast. You know, you can use Goldcast to record a podcast if you kind of finagle it a little bit, but you can take that recording, embed it, and also use that player alongside Content Lab to pull in a few clips to kind of give people a flavor and a feeling for that. Especially important if you are still gating that video. You can ungate those clips, give people a feel and a vibe for it, and then you can have that lead capture form on the full video. So again, coming back KPIs, so it's probably going to be the views on those clips, the transition from viewership of the clips onto some in your email or whatever else might be in your form. Also, just like the amount of the video, if it's either gated or ungated, doesn't matter, but the watch time for those pieces, all those play a role into like the data you're looking at. And then if you're going down the channel of like YouTube, you know, obviously the views in B2B, probably when I'm talking YouTube, really the only thing I care about is like the reach of those videos. Cause like, no one's going to comment on but like a very small percentage are going to be like liking your stuff in B2B or like commenting on your stuff in B2B and YouTube. You know what I mean? So that one is really about distribution, reach. And again, also bringing it back into like the juice world, like, okay, I have this video. Where can I distribute it that it'll then get pulled into my other distribution channels? So that's why we rely so heavily on YouTube, because then all those videos are then pulled in the juice. So yeah, it's a nice little circle.
Yeah, I think maybe what I appreciate the shout out there.
Totally organic, don't worry.
Yes. Kind of what I'm hearing you say is that, like, it's just more flexible. Like, you know, if you're doing a, like, old-fashioned webinar, it's, like, really the only thing you can do to measure success is, like, registrations, right? And maybe, like, watch time or attendance rate. But it is captured in that moment in time where, like, turning that into more of a video strategy, it's like, well, in this channel, it can drive this. In this other channel, it can drive that. We can measure effectiveness in different channels in different ways. It just feels like there's so much more flexibility there when the anchor is video as opposed to that one-time event. So pretty powerful stuff.
And this one's kind of a little rogue, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think another piece of video that's very powerful, and this isn't really a data point because, like, how the hell do you measure this? I mean, you could do like a recall study, I guess, but who would do that in this situation? But I think one thing that's very powerful about video is we know that an audience has to see your message 7 times for it to really resonate and stick. Well, think about if you are doing webinars or virtual events, using that then as video to share across your channels, people are going to be seeing your face and your brand over and over and over. And then that is going to build that resonance, that memory, that recall, that brand affinity. So I think that's another piece to think about of, like, why would we not use the power of video to achieve this? And again, it's very like willy-nilly about how do you measure that and report on that. But think about it. Like, if you share something and it's you and you have all these other clips and that's going to keep going in those channels, that drumbeat will continue. You're just going to continue to build all those pieces. And then, you know, when that 95% or 98%, depending who you talk to, of out-of-market people start shifting to in-market, guess who they're going to remember? Probably you. Not the faceless other person who's not out there, right?
You're so right. And I, like, it sounds obvious now when I say it out loud, but, like, you know, we think brand is like visual identity so much, and, like, it is just so much more memorable when it's a video versus text on a blog, right? Like, I don't know, like, it's just like that recall. I think you're exactly right. And I think, like, again, it sounds obvious to say out loud, but people will, yeah, I don't know how to study it exactly, but I'll remember a video from Lindsay, you know, 3 times the amount that I'll remember a blog post from Goldcast Corporate, right? Like, or a competitor that's just blogging or whatever, right? So I think you're onto something there for sure. Okay, I want to change gears just a little bit, and you and I talked about this a little bit ahead of time, but marketing to marketers, we both do that. So I'm curious kind of your, you know, it's supposed to be fun marketing to marketers, and I think it is. I've been in spaces that aren't marketing, and as have you, and I think it's a far different journey. But there are also unique challenges that come to marketing with marketers. Any, like, advice or experiences or thoughts on just kind of that journey and from Formstack and Goldcast and kind of switching back into that world where you're marketing to somebody where you could also be kind of sitting in the buyer seat?
Yeah, I think the coolest part has been, and this is talking from distinctly like working in a tech company that markets to marketers, mm-hmm. is I get so much interaction with my product team. And I get to do so many cool things when it comes to our product because I am the persona they're selling to. So it is really awesome to, like, almost get a third of the view of, like, a product manager role because I'm the persona we're selling to and I'm doing the actions that some of our end users are doing. So that has been, like, the most fun, cool, fascinating part for me is to be able to, like, have such an impact on our product and our platform and our tech. Of course, like, I'm just one marketer and I always say this in our calls, like, remember, y'all, I'm just one person. So, like, grain of salt with that. But it is really, really fun to be able to have that impact, have that transparency, and just to be able to collaborate in those ways. And I think one, this is going to get a little high level and kind of, I don't know even how to describe it, but, like, one thing I've always struggled with is I'm a very, like, altruistic person. And for a long time, I thought, like, I would work in the nonprofit space because that's my passion point. Didn't quite work out that way, obviously, because I left nonprofit. But I've always then struggled with, like, at the end of the day, why am I selling software, right? Like, that is what I do. If you boil it down to, like, what do? I sell software.
Pixels on a screen.
You could say I market software, but at the end of the day, my marketing is to sell software. And I think now in my position, I'm realizing, like, Oh, well, this kind of gives me a little bit more like oomph to like why I'm doing this, because I am making decisions and making things better for people who are doing my similar role and having like an impact there. So that's a little tangential to our conversation, but I think marketing to marketers, it's so much fun and you have so much more creativity that you can pursue and do, but there's also a lot more pressure. Cause like we're marketers, y'all, like we expect a lot and are like, it's up here and maybe even like beyond that. And so that can be a lot of pressure to be funny and creative and engaging and like get the attention and get the eyeballs and like break through the echelon of the golden children of SaaS and like all this kind of stuff, you know, it's stressful and it's high pressure, but it's also really fun because I come from a background of very high compliance, right? I've worked in a credit union. I've worked in the healthcare space. That stuff is a whole nother kit and caboodle of steps and levels and regulations and dotting your I's and crossing your T's and like not toeing the line in any way, shape, or form. So I think when it comes down to like why market to marketers is because you don't have those handcuffs on as far as that side of it. But also you have to think about like the expectations are just that much higher and you have to be that much more clever, which being clever can be really hard sometimes. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, cool. I love the altruistic perspective. I think you're onto something there. And I think that's a cool perspective to have. Well, Lindsay, we always end the conversations by asking our guests, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
All right. I'm going to go back to my SEO roots because I actually started in SEO. I think cold outreach link building is such a waste of time. Such a waste of time. Granted, if you're doing it through, you know, an article pitch or an article trade, that might have a little bit more leverage and legs, but it has to be done very strategically, very well put together to work. But like, just like the cold outreach link, like, oh, I saw you mentioned da 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 da. Can you please link to me? Blah, 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 blah. Like, yo, it's just such a waste of time. Like, and it's maybe with AI tools now, you can do it much more automated and it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, like how many people are opening your email or like responding to your email. But like, I just think it's such a waste of time. And granted, I remember doing that back in the day when I was much more heavily like, I'm still SEO minded and I still oversee SEO, but when I was like heads down SEO, and it's just like, why bother sometimes?
Yeah. I've had people ask me, I'm far from an SEO expert. That's actually one kind of like area I've kind of always intentionally or unintentionally avoided in my marketing career, just because, I don't know, it's never been a strength of mine. But, you know, right now the advice I always give people or the perspective I have on SEO is it's changing so fast. There's a lot going on in the space. Like, I would not be increasing any investment or resources spent on SEO. We think about SEO, we do SEO, but like, we're not optimizing for it right now, which maybe sounds weird to say out loud, but like, I just, something's happening there and it's like, I'm gonna let the dust settle a little bit and see where it settles and then go figure it out a little bit more, because it's a crazy space right now.
And I will say, before the technical people come at me, I am not saying that backlinks don't matter. That is not what I'm saying. But I am saying that some of the cold outreach methods that people do, you could be investing your time in much better ways.
Oh yeah, totally agreed there. Well, cool, Lindsay. If people want to learn more from you or about Goldcast, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, definitely very active on LinkedIn. So go find me on LinkedIn, type in Lindsay McGuire. Don't be alarmed when my name comes up as Lindsay Latterew. I feel like it's like way too long now for me to change it because I've been married like 7 years. So it's like, oh, this seems weird if I were to change this now. But I don't know. Maybe it's just like a rep to my maiden name. But please connect to me on LinkedIn. And then if you want to learn more about Goldcast, our website's goldcast.io. I would love to tell you more about our platform, about what we're doing in the AI space, video repurposing, the whole, you know, song and dance. And then, of course, I have to plug like our blog and our events. Check out our blog, check out our upcoming events. We run anywhere from 3 to 5+ events every month. So we got a lot going on for y'all. And our audience is marketers. So come join in on the fun.
Yes, and I will echo that sentiment of we have learned a lot from Goldcast. We do use Goldcast, and that's like not why we're having this conversation, but you all have made our events that much more powerful and that much more successful. So we are big fans. I would encourage everyone to go check it out. Check out Goldcast. Learn from Lindsay. Keep listening to the Content Cocktail Hour. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, cheers.
thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.